Last weekend, there was a major rocket attack on the Golan Heights, and Israel retaliated by blowing up the political leader of Hamas in Tehran, killed the commander of Hezbollah in Beirut. And so now everybody, all eyes are on what this retaliation will look like. The United States will have two aircraft carriers in the Strait of Hormuz, just off the coast of Iran, during or shortly after the strikes. The function of whether this conflict goes on longer and whether it goes wider is the commitment and involvement of the United States. The Biden administration has been very reluctant to get involved, and they, along with other liberal governments, it's just true, they have been trying to restrain Israel. And so I think that this is the go for broke. This is the once and for all war. This is how Israel sees it, where they're going to strike at the heart, which is Iran, and dismantle all of the proxies systematically. In order to do that, they need a total and unconditional and sustained commitment from the United States. And I think whenever that's required, it always involves false flags. I don't think I'm the only one with the idea in my head that something's going to blow up. There's going to be some kind of mass casualty incident. And in 24 hours, there'll be a media blitz. They'll know it's Hamas, it's Hezbollah, it's Iran. And that's going to be their pretext to get the United States involved. If the United States engages Iran, we have to recognize we'll be engaging Iran on many, many fronts. It's going to be a full-on regional conflict. I don't think people realize the scope of all of this, and especially the effect it'll have on the economy. What happens when all of the world's major oil producers are engaged in an all-out regional conflict? What happens when there's no trade going through the Strait of Hormuz or through the Red Sea? It would be a total economic meltdown. But the United States just needs to say no. Trump put out a message on Truth Social a week ago, and he said, well, if the reports are true and Iran tries to kill me, they should wipe Iran off the map. And that's like an invitation for John F. Kennedy. That's like an invitation for RFK, saying, hey, if I die, then Israel gets everything it always wanted. Okay, well, guess what's going to happen next? I think he needs to commit to not going to war in Iran. And I said it at Turning Point a few months ago. I've been saying it from the beginning. I'm uncommitted right now. But the thing that's going to get me to vote for Trump and turn out, I think it's true of a lot of people, and even a lot of people in Michigan who are unlikely Trump voters, we need to be confident that there will be no war in Iran. So he said in his first term, I started no new wars. I'd like to hear a strong commitment, no new wars in the second term. And I know, you know, for some reasons, it's not a good idea because you need to have some flexibility conducting a foreign policy. You need to, you know, people need to think you might be able to, but it's too hot right now. The American people need to know that we're not going to war in Iran, no matter what the false flag, no matter what happens in the ensuing days. We need to know this is going to be a president that's America first and keeps the troops out of the Middle East. I think that wins the election. Because in a lot of ways, the Trump rhetoric is getting further and further away from the America First message of 2016. I like to say in 2016, he ran as an independent. Now he's running as a Republican. And it went from trade, anti-war, and anti-immigration. Now it's something like cutting taxes, more war, and energy. Trump is still our last best chance, but it's really now, just like it was in 2017, a battle for the Trump administration. And I hate that it's this way. It shouldn't be this way. But once again, it's going to be the real Trump loyalists and the real America firsters that are going to have to fight inside the Trump administration and wrest control back from the neocons. And so I think that the path to global peace, it's a policy of American restraint. I think the only one that can even do it is Trump. But the only way to get Trump to do it is to fight a battle within his team and within his future administration. Because what's interesting is when Trump came to power, the world leaders actually kind of liked him. Like Kim Jong-un, who has every reason to be suspicious of and hate the United States, he actually thought Trump was kind of cool. And they were like hanging out. And I know people are skeptical of that, but it spoke to something. Trump represented to the world a breakthrough where now that you're getting the American people instead of this blob, instead of this foreign policy, ultra rich blob. Putin talked about that. Kim Jong-un recognized that. I think a lot of people recognize that. And now we've just been submerged back under the blob. So that's really the tension in the United States, because I think everybody recognizes the people are good, but it is these global elites who are more powerful than ever in tech, in finance, and so on. And I think they're bringing the world to a very sad, impoverished, dangerous place. And it has very little to do with the people of the world.